Good morning, everybody, or good evening, depending on where you are. Thank you so much for joining us. It is a great honor and a personal privilege to have the opportunity to learn together with you this morning as we mark the first yard site of our dear husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, Chavrusa, friend, mentor, and so much more to so many who are here and others who are not present at the moment. Shelly Mermelstein, Yosef Shmuel Shmelka ben Yitzchak, Zichrono Levracha. As most of you probably know, Shelly's yard site passed last week. This was really the first and perhaps in some ways the best opportunity for the family, K'nai Nahara, all over the world to be able to gather together. I'm sure this will come as no surprise to anybody here, but the family has marked the yard site on the day and days after and before in most fitting ways with the dedication of Sfarim and Siyumim and the study of Torah. And so this is obviously an important event. It's a gathering in which right now, you know, well over, looks like almost 160 people plus are gathering to participate in this moment of Torah study in Shelly's memory, but I know that I, together with so many here, really stand in awe of the entire mishpacha who have banded together over the past year and have displayed in the most incredible way, just steadfast, unwavering emuna, even under these very, very difficult and really tragic circumstances. Our learning today, obviously, is in memory of Shelly. And whenever we learn Torah in someone's memory, we hope and pray that it should be as a chus for the neshama. The topic for today's study is one which was selected by myself and really with the input of the family, because it is a topic which really characterizes one of Shelly's most unique contributions, if you will, to the world. And I think such a unique part of his legacy. Shelly, I described that the Levaya was an individual who was a Mosif Vaholech. We will never forget that we gathered for his Levaya on Erev Chanukah, and we were anticipating several hours afterwards to begin to light the Ner Chanukah, and we, of course, follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, who tells us that we light the first night one candle, and the second night two, and three, and four, etc. The idea being that we are Mosif HaHolech, that we try to increase the light of the Ner Chanukah with each day of the Chag. Shelly lived his life in a very similar manner. I had mentioned at the time that I really got to know him at a time in his life when people talk about retiring and slowing down, downsizing. And what I had the opportunity to witness firsthand for almost 20 years was an individual who was committed to constant growth, not to slow down, perhaps changes and adjustments in schedule. But for the most part, it was about looking for ways in which I can continue to contribute and to grow. This was evident in terms of his professional responsibilities. He sought constantly to remain busy and involved, and sought new opportunities for employment and just to experience life. Of course, it was true in the area of Kviyas Mitzvot Torah, where Shelly learned each and every day and night. He had an incredible range of chavrusas and areas of Torah study, which reflected an incredible interest and a yearning and a thirst for the study of Torah in so many different forms. It is true when it came to his commitment to tefillah, not only in terms of his attendance, but his tremendous respect and his reverence for everything about davening, where, when, how, and of course it should take place. And I think one area which is really going to be the focus of today's discussion, which was most unique because unfortunately, it is rare to see individuals, certainly older individuals who have reached a certain stage in life, which they have Kanayinahara grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and maybe sort of reached this point, this plateau, where they say, you know, I've reached this age and stage in my life where I could just sort of sit back and continue to learn, but really sort of coast to the end. But when it comes to character improvement, when it comes to focusing on areas having to do with midos, who I am and who I would like to be, so Shelley was an individual who fought constantly to grow. He was very aware of areas in which he needed to grow and needed to improve, and made it a priority of his to constantly do that over the course of his life. And so therefore, when I suggested several possible topics for this morning's shiur, the family thought that the topic that we will discuss, one of self-improvement from a Torah perspective, would be a fitting way to remember Shelley. So I had placed several minutes ago in the chat box a file, which you are welcome to open up if you'd like. I'm going to share my screen with you, so that will be another way that you'll be able to see some of the marmokomos. Unfortunately, just given the number of people over here and some of the technical challenges involved in having a conversation like this, I'm not opening the floor for questions, which I typically like doing and I would normally welcome. Of course, you're welcome to put any questions or comments in the chat box, and if I have an opportunity to respond, Bli Nedar, I will make every effort to do so. But I have muted you all, not because I don't want to hear your voices, or not because I'm trying to monopolize the floor over here. Just all it takes is one person who has some noise going on in the background to disrupt us all. So please, I hope I haven't offended anybody by muting you. We want very much to make this as much of a joint effort as possible. And I will note before I get started, even though I'm not really panning the entire list of names over here, just it's amazing to see so many people from near and far, members of the family, and of course, there's no such thing as a former Beth Aaron member. You know, no matter where you live, and those people I'm looking at right now in Eretz Yisrael at the moment, it's really wonderful that we are able to gather and to unite on such an important occasion. Okay, so today's topic is Adam Le'amal Yulad, which is actually a pasuk that it doesn't actually make it to the Marmokomos beyond the title, but it's a pasuk which describes really, it's a phrase, a fragment of a pasuk from Iyov, I believe, which really characterizes the theme of this entire shir, and that is that man was created for the purpose of amelus, for toil, for hard work, and we're going to talk about the Torah imperative of self-improvement. I'm going to try to really touch upon some important general areas. This, of course, is not intended to be a very, very detailed, descriptive, and a very practical set of directions as to how we can improve. But I am hoping, if Ezra Hashem, we are successful in the zuchus of our studying today, each and every one of us will walk away with some inspiration to give more thought. In some cases, for some of us, that's more thought than we are already thinking about. And for some of us, it's really thinking about it, perhaps for the first time in a long time, about how important it is to look for ways that we can improve, particularly within the realm of our midos. The first source that appears here, source number one, comes from the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the famous Mechaber of the Mesillas Yesharim and Derech Hashem. And he writes something that is important, I think, sort of by way of introduction over here. And that is that man was created imperfect. That you would think perhaps, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates man in this state of perfection. And basically, it is our job to preserve that perfect state and try to the best of our abilities to avoid ruining it, if you will. It is true that man is created in a state of tara. In fact, we say each and every morning, Elokai neshama shenasat bi tahorahi, we are pure, but that doesn't mean that we are perfect. That doesn't mean that we have been created without any room for improvement. Writes the Ramchal, ha'adam kvar nivra b'tzelem elokim, It is true that man was created in the image of God, v'diyukno b'dmus diyukno shamala, and we're not going to talk about what this means right now. There is a certain divine form, a tsura, an image, if you will, that we have, which allows us to connect literally to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'im kol zeh, but yet despite that, despite the fact that we were created b'tzelem elokim, einenu shalem lihidamos le'elyon l'gamri, ad shiyashlimenu b'masav atovim. We are not yet able to completely and to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam in the way that we should until we try to be mashlim ourselves, make ourselves whole, make ourselves as close to perfect, so to speak, as we could as human beings. And this is the whole idea of the mitzvos in general. Chazal tell us there are 613 mitzvos corresponding to the 613 ivarei adam, the parts of the human anatomy. And the idea over here is that we have been given the tools to perfect ourselves. The Sefer HaChinuch, in his description of the mitzvah of Milah, the second mitzvah that the Chinuch counts, he writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to engage in self-improvement. V'ratzelios hashlama yedei adam. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants by design that we should be the ones to carry out this task. He could make us perfect if he wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect by definition, but he chooses to make us imperfect. V'lo baru shalom yibeten, and he did not create us complete from the womb. Lirmoze lov. And this is all to convey a very important message to us. Ki kasher tashlim tsuras gufa yado. Just as when we fulfill the mitzvah of bris milah, as an example, we use our hands to essentially perfect the human anatomy. Kein biyado lahashlim tsuras nafsho behechsher pu'losav. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, similarly, it is within our ability, is within our capacity to go ahead and be mashlim our nefesh, our souls. Mila, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is almost like sort of, it's an example for us to realize and to appreciate that we have not been created perfect, but it is within our ability. We have the capacity and we are instructed to actually go ahead and try to make ourselves better people. The next point I'd like to highlight over here is that self-improvement is the primary purpose of man's existence. Now, those are very, very strong words. And some of you know me better than others and may be thinking, you know, Ruthwax, he's a nice guy, but with all due respect, what gives him the right to say that? After all, the primary purpose of man's existence? So the answer is, it's not me. The Vilna Gaon and the Sefer Evan Shlema writes those exact words. We'll skip to source 4 and then we'll come back to 3. In the opening sentences of the Sefer Evan Shlema of the Vilna Gaon, he writes, "Ikor chiyus ha'adam hu l'schazek tamid b'shvirus hamidos v'imlav l'malo chayim." The reason why we are here, the primary purpose of man's existence, is that we can be mischazek ourselves, that we can strengthen ourselves b'shviras hamidos, which is a powerful terminology that is used to describe self-improvement, but really what it is conquering. It's conquering certain tendencies, proclivities, certain challenges that we have inside of us, which require shvira. It requires breaking them, as if to imply there is a very difficult and challenging and formidable opponent, if you will, that we have inside of ourselves that requires breaking down slowly but surely over the course of our life. And if not, lama lo chayim? Why live? Now, where does he come up with this idea? It comes from a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says in the fourth chapter of Mishlei, hachzeik bamusar, that we should try to strengthen ourselves, specifically when it comes to the area of musar, which is what we're talking about. Al teref, do not allow yourselves to be weak in this area. Nitzreha, hold on to it, this sacred responsibility, kihi chayecha, because this is your life. Right, Shlomo HaMelech. And again, in his Perush on Mishlei, over there writes, Ki masha adam chai, hu kidei lishbor hamida shelo shavar adheina. If we are here to do more work. And work in this regard means to break those midos, to work on ourselves, to conquer those areas in life in which we struggle. Lachein tzarech tamid lihischazek, so we have to constantly work on ourselves to improve. Im lo yischazek lamaluchayim. And if not, so then why live? What then is the purpose of life, says Shlomo HaMelech, and that's where the Vilna Gaon comes up with this idea that Iker Chiyus HaAdam. But we'll go back to source 3, as I told you we would. The Evan Shleiman is opening words, writes, Kol avodas Hashem toloi b'tikun amidos. These are extraordinary words. What? That's a very, very, very bold statement. That our entire service of Hashem depends on tikun amidos, on perfection of one's midos, not mitzvos. If it said, Kol avodas Hashem toloi b'tikun amitzvos, or b'asiyas amitzvos, no one would stop and wonder. Of course, that makes perfect sense. That's what avodas Hashem is. Says the Vilna Gaon, actually not. Avodas Hashem is toloi antikan amidos, shehim kmo levush lemitzvos klali haTorah. He describes the midos as being sort of the levush, the outer garb of the mitzvos and klali haTorah, v'chol hachatoi mishurashim b'midos. And every sin that a man commits can be traced back to midos. And so therefore, if a person wants to succeed in the avodas Hashem, they have to pay special attention to improving themselves, their character, self-improvement. The midos are the foundation of the entire Torah. There is so much that can be said on this idea. I know that many of us are probably familiar already with Mamorei Chazal that would substantiate this idea, but I draw your attention to the Hakdama, to the Sefer Yachil Yisrael, which is the parish of Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, former chief rabbi of Israel, and his parish of Maseches Avos. I highly recommend the set of his parish on Pirkei Avos. It's absolutely beautiful and full of so many beautiful ideas from which we can learn quite a lot. But in his Hakdam, in his introduction to the Sefer, he writes, he's trying to understand, as many have, why it is that Maseches Avos, Pirkei Avos, is called Pirkei Avos. So most places will translate Pirkei Avos as sort of, right, ethics of our fathers, right, the chapters of our fathers. Avos meaning like our ancestors, whether Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, or perhaps within the context of Pirkei Avos, those sages whose opinions are expressed in Pirkei Avos. So that's, you know, typically the way we would understand the term Avos. But he presents over here an alternative possibility, and that is that whenever we find avos, that term avos, so Chazal tell us that implies that there are tolados, there are descendants, if you will, in the most literal sense. So you have avos and banim, you have fathers or parents and children. However, Chazal understand that avos doesn't always mean physical parents. It doesn't only have to mean ancestors in the most literal, familiar sense, but it could also mean sort of the primary categories from which derive what we call toldos, subcategories. So for example, when it comes to Melech HaShabbos, there are avos melechos, there are 39 avos melechos, and then there are many toldos. According to some, there are 39 toldos for each of the 39 avos melechos. Right? So you have the avos and you have the toldos. And this is true when it comes to other areas of halacha as well. The Gemara has a statement when it comes to avos nizakin. So there as well, you have avos and toldos. So with this, he explains, you know what it means that this is Pirkei Avos? What are the toldos in Pirkei Avos? Be'ofen ha'pashut masbir ha'mefarshim. The mefarshim explain, ki masechazu klulum ha'yisoldos l'chol divrei ha'musar. In Pirkei Avos, we find the foundations of all divrei musar, everything having to do with, again, character improvement, self-improvement, character development, ha'mofiyim b'chol ha'torah sh'bal peh, which appear in all in every sector, every corner of Torah Shabbat Peh. B'shas v'midrashim uvam meyos ve'alfei drashos ma'amarim. There are hundreds and thousands of statements that Chazal make all throughout Torah Shabbat Peh, asher oskim binyanei musar v'derech eretz. Hamakar l'chol osin me'maros. What is the source for all that? That's all found in Maseches Avos. And that's why it's called Pirkei Avos, Maseches Avos. That's a very nice idea. So explains the Me'iri. But then Rav Lau goes on to say, Yeser alkein, Masechazu eino rak hashorish l'chol divrei ha-musar shebetorah. It's not just the source for all divrei musar, hu gam habasis l'limud ha-torah b'chlal. Pirkei Avos. Avos means that this is the foundation for all of the study of Torah. Kiyum ha-omor bo halacha l'masa, hu t'nai hechrachi b'derech l'kabolas Torah u'mitzvos. That if we're going to, if we want to strive to be able to receive Torah properly, to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, ol Torah, ol mitzvos properly and completely, so a necessary precondition for that is that we have to become better people. B'mekomos rabim limdunu chazal ha-toras, ki ein ha-torah miskayemes, b'mishenafshu ein musukenes, mukhsheres l'kabalas ha-torah. Torah can only really rest completely and be fulfilled completely within a person who prepares himself for that. And from that reason, Chazal tell us, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Im Ein Torah, Im Ein Derech Eretz Ein Torah. These are statements that we find the Chazal are basically telling us, our Midos, Derech Eretz, if you will, this is the foundation upon which Torah can thrive, Torah can live, Torah can develop within inside of ourselves. There is a tendency, and this is obvious to each and every one of us, that we have as human beings to misprioritize and to behave inconsistently in this regard. What I mean is, and this is not necessarily true about each and every person, but we do find when we take a step back and we look at our community, we find that there are many, many instances where individuals, and we're only interested in focusing on ourselves at the moment, but we can say as a general observation, there is a tendency that we sometimes see that people can be, I'll use the term, very frum when it comes to Bein Adam L'Makom, when it comes to their interactions, or more specifically, I should say, their desire to express their connection to the Rabbanu Shalom, to become close to the Rabbanu Shalom. They are medaktikim when it comes to mitzvos Bein Adam L'Makom. However, when it comes to their behaviors, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, so sometimes these very individuals do not display that same dikduk b'mitzvos, that same care, that same concern. It's almost as if people see the two as being unrelated, disconnected, and it is possible for me to be a devoted, sincere, fulfilled Eved Hashem without giving adequate attention to the way that I treat other people. And one of my favorite Maror Makomos, sources that sort of redirect us from allowing ourselves to believe in such a faulty approach, comes from the Torah Tamima. By way of introduction, the pasuk that we're all familiar with, we say each and every day in the Shiras Hayom in Parshas Beshalach, tells us Azivas Imisya Vahili Lishua Ze Livian Veyu Elohei Aviva Ramamenu. And those words Zeke Livian Veyu, this is my God Va'anvehu, and I will, that's a difficult word to translate, I will beautify him, I will adorn him. So there's a famous drasha, which is found in Masechah Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, which is actually still appropriate because even though Hanukkah is over, we can still connect ourselves back to Hanukkah, which highlights this idea very much so. Tanya, the Braisa, which according to the Gemara, says as follows, Zekeli Miaveyu, Hisnoi Lefanav B'mitzvot. What is we learn from these words? Zekeli, this is my God, Va'anveyu. I will try to what? Display my honor. I will try to beautify, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu through beautifying his mitzvos. I say lefanav sukkah na'ah, lulav na'ah, shofar na'ah, tzitzis na'ah, sefer Torah na'ah, etc. When I have the opportunity to purchase, to acquire, to prepare, to make, to manufacture, whatever the case may be, an item that is going to be used for a mitzvah, these are some examples that are given over here, sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis, sefer Torah, etc. So I'm going to do so in a nice way. I'm not just going to throw a sukkah together. I'm not just going to buy any lulav that I can find. I'm going to go through the effort that it should be a nice one. That's the concept of hiddur mitzvah, which again is a primary theme on Hanukkah, the whole idea of doing mitzvos bihidur. This is a famous idea. Most are familiar with it. But the Braisa continues. After stating the opinion of the Chachamim, there's another opinion of Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul says, no. You know what Vavehu means? Not tisna lefana b'mitzvos, have a domelo. What it means is that we should be like him. We should emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu chanun v'rachum, just as he is gracious and compassionate, afata heyechanun v'rachum, so too you should be the same. So you, what seems over here is that you have basically two different ways of explaining, of darshaning these words, zekei levian vehu. The Chachamim explain what it means is we should be really, really medaktik, if you will. We should be very, very careful that when we do mitzvos, we should do them in the most muhudur dika fashion. We should really try to do it in the nicest way. And I shouldn't mention parenthetically, it's not a parenthetical point in this conversation, but this is an area in which we also saw, you know, Shelley, you know, really distinguish himself. It wasn't enough to just do mitzvos. Mitzvos had to be done in a right way. And with the pride that he took and seeing to it that things that were done in and around the shul would be done in the most proper way. There were many, many, many occasions where he would call me before, during, and after a tahara. As we know, he led our Chevra Kedisha to discuss some of the the slightest, you know, I can't say, but some would say maybe seemingly insignificant points about how a Tara was, should be performed. Questions come up, something that we had never encountered before. And, you know, there was a dituk, there was a desire to do things in the most muhudar way. The pride in which he would personally go ahead together with Micha Kaufman and shine the silver each and every year before the Yom HaNoraim, taking, you know, and it was really, I mean, there were many, many pieces, heavy pieces of silver from the shul, from all the Sifrei Torah, and taking them to his home and working on them for hours and hours and hours, bringing them back so they literally shined. That's what it means. That's what it means to do mitzvos behidura. That's literally, that fits into the examples that Chazal give over here. And Abba Shoal seems to be saying something else. No, that's not what it means. That's not the full of mitzvos. It means havidoma, we should try to be good people. The Torah Temima says over here, Yeshloma da Abba Shoal in a cholik ala chachamim. Don't think that Abba Shoal is offering a different opinion. No. They say he's not about mitzvahs, he says Havidomelo. Eluhu bala hosif. He's coming to add to the Chachamim. Dolo daiva anveyu b'mitzvah shebeinadam l'makom. It's not enough for a person to be so careful within the realm of beinadam l'makom. Eletzarech o l'naveyu b'mitzvah shebeinadam l'chaveiro. If you really, really want to be a frum Jew, it's not enough to be hisnal afanav b'mitzvah sukkah in lulav and shofar and tzitzitz and sefer Torah. That's not enough. It also matters how I interact with other people. Yan kizula ze, because what's the alternative, says the Torah Temima? V'hainu ish hazohir medakteit b'mitzvah shemayim. A person who is so careful in his interactions or his behaviors, ben adam l'makom, v'hainu makvid li'zor b'midos tovas sheben adam l'chaveiro. What's the message such a person sends, he conveys? Who gorim l'chil Hashem v'atorah v'hamitzvah. What this person does, God forbid, is machal Hashem shemayim. Ba'amor hamon ha'am, because people look at him and they say, kama megunim masav shel osa ya'yari shemayim. This is what it means to be a frum Jew? Thanks, but no thanks. Masha ochis, misha ochis bazeh, v'gam bazeh, a person who holds on to both responsibilities at the same time, hakol makalsin osov, omrim kama noim masav shel zeh, u'bazeh u'gorim kavod la'ashem l'tarasu mitzvah. So this person is a walking kiddushem shemayim, because they identify him as being a frum Jew. He wears a yarmulke and he's got long tzitzis that are hanging out. And this person, everybody sees him as being a frum Jew, but look at the way he speaks to a stranger on the street. Look at the kavod with which he displays to other people. So then we look at such a person and we say, wow. People say, kama noim masav shel zeh. And the Torah Temima goes on to say in his concluding lines over here, we have to realize and recognize the concept of hiddur mitzvah is not only when it comes to bein adam lamakom. There's a concept of hiddur mitzvah bein adam l'chavero as well. And that is the whole idea of self-improvement, of looking for ways in which we can improve our character. The Ramchal, in his introduction to the Sefer Maseilas Yesharim, notes something that we all know. And that is, unfortunately, many people do not devote adequate time to study and to thinking about these matters. There are many, many people who study Torah in general, people of Mavir Sedrin, people of Daf Yomi, and people who study Halacha on a regular basis. And people are very, very knowledgeable Jews. However, when it comes to character improvement, when it comes to the study of Musar, and more important than the study of Musar, really, really engaging in the Cheshbon HaNefesh and looking for ways in which I can improve myself, to think about the interactions that I've had in the past and anticipating the interactions that I will have with people coming up down the line, and how am I going to prepare for that moment? I believe I may have mentioned, if not, it's coming to me right now, that I may have mentioned at the Levaya, but I remember shortly before Shelley's passing, he and Fran came to see me and was discussing a ben adam l'chaveru situation that had not yet happened. I'm not going to go into any more specifics than that, but it had not yet happened. It was just anticipating something that was coming up down the line, a situation that may lead to some degree of discomfort, some conflict, and how do we navigate this situation? So everything should be done bihidura. Most people, says Maseilas Yesharim, do not think about these things at all, even after the fact, let alone before the fact. Why is this? He writes in the second line over here, "V'lo mipnei she'ein advarim elo ikarim etzlam." It's not because people think that these matters are they're just not important. Kim tishalahem, if you ask them, kol echad yom hashezeu yikar gadol. People say, of course it's important. You have to be a man. You have to be a good person. It's because people say everybody knows this. It's so obvious. There's no need to go ahead and to devote time to study these matters. Everybody knows. He says, "Told us amina gazer." However, the results of such an attitude, ra'os ma'od l'chachamim l'vitri chachamim. This could be very, very detrimental and really very destructive to all people. Chachamim. To wise people and people who are bilti chachamim, people who are not yet wise people. Kigorim shemi elo mi elo yechzer chasidus hamiti. Because people on all sides are deficient in matters in which they should really be better. Chasidus over here is not referring to chasidus like Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. He's talking over here about being a chasid in terms of a person's chasidus and his midos. It's rare to find such people like this in the world. People think, yeah, you know how you become a chassid? By saying Tehillim all day and engaging in long vidui and fasts. I should mention, by the way, that these were all things that Shelley did, Baruch Hashem, in all these areas. He was a chassid in these ways as well. Whether it came to recitation at Tehillim and saying vidui longer than anybody else in shul, and fasting more than anybody else. I don't know if he went into freezing cold mikvahs on a regular basis, I don't know. But the Mesillas Yesharim says some people think that's it. Kulam devarim asher ein ha-sechel noach mehem ve'ein ha-dasho keta. These are matters which are they're difficult for people, and they don't really, it's hard to understand the rationally anyway, the benefit of these things. But what is very beneficial is for a person to go ahead and to stop and to think about who I am in areas in which I struggle, in areas in which I need to improve. And he goes on to say, what are we going to say? Manana biyom hatachacha im hisrashalnu min ha'iyun hazeh. If we're going to have a hisrashlus, if we're going to be insufficiently focused in these areas, and we're going to be lazy, and we're not going to really take our responsibility seriously. What are we going to say? What is going to be our response? Shua ikur ma'ashem alokeinu shoel me'iman. This is the primary purpose of our existence, as the Vilna Gaon told us. Ikur chiyas olda ha'adam ba'olam hazeh hu b'shviras hamidos. Hayitachein, could it be, says Mr. Yoshoim, Shiyiga v'yamol sechleinu b'chakiros ha'shelonis chayavnu b'am, that we're going to spend so much time in chakiros and pupulim and things that ultimately have no real, real purpose. Dinam asher inam shayachim lanu, u'masha chayovim olu b'oreinu, chove rabba, na'azveyu leherigul v'nanecheyu l'mitzvot z'onoshim l'umada, the things that matter most, we're just going to say, well, hopefully things will work out because this is obvious to all. No, that's not what we can do. So now you may be thinking, well, where in the Torah does it say I have to work on myself to become a better person? Where in the Torah does it say this? I want to know. You showed me the Vilna Gaon, the Mesillas Yesharim, very nice. Where does it say it in the Torah? And the answer is it says it several times in the Torah. In one of the most fascinating mitzvahs of the entire Torah, again, unfortunately, not appreciated as much as it should. Everybody, we think about the mitzvahs that we're familiar with, the more concrete mitzvahs, but the mitzvahs that are a little more sublime, the ones that are, Omd in Beruma Shel Olam. So sometimes we don't pay adequate attention to these mitzvos. This mitzvah, I believe, I once heard in the name of Soloveitchik, is considered to be the mitzvah koleles b'chol haTorah kula, the mitzvah that is all encompassing. Says, I'll give you two examples over here, but there are other examples in the Torah. V'atah Yisrael ma'ashem alokecha shoel me'imach, ki yim liyiras Hashem alokecha lelechas b'chod urecha v'liyavos ho v'lavodos ho Hashem alokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. This pasuk says a lot. It talks about the mitzvah of yiras Hashem and avas Hashem. However, and I bolded it for you, lelechas b'chol durechav, the idea of following, literally walking in the ways of God. Repeated again in source number 14, Leleches b'chol d'rachav. This is the mitzvah known as v'halachta b'drachav. It's one of the Taryag mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, to walk in the ways of God. Now, what does that mean, walk in the ways of God? God, how does God walk? God doesn't have feet. He doesn't, what does that mean, walk in the ways of God? So the Gemara tries to help us understand this. Gemara Masechet Sota Daf Yudalet Amar B'chama B'Rab Chenina Ma'idik Siv Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teleicha. What does this mean? B'chiyev Shalol Adam La'aloch Achar Shechina. What am I going to go ahead and I'm going to literally follow the Shechina? How could that be? Alok Va'Nemar Ki Yesham Elokecha Eishoch Lohu. The pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like an all-consuming fire. What is this telling me? I should go ahead and literally follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Kodesh Kodashim. What does this mean? Ella says, Chazal, no, what it means is that I should follow in the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The halach ha-midos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara gives us examples. Mahu mal b'sharumim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that people who need clothing are clothed, as the pasuk says, Vayas Hashem Elokim lo'adam l'ishto kasam sor v'yavishem, afata, so too, al b'sharumim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevakir cholim, so too we should be mevakir cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menachem aveilim, we should be menachem aveilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kvar mesim, so should we. And this is not an exclusive list, certainly not. We're just getting started. If you take a look and you look, you know, over the course of time, when you study more and you learn more, and you see the Mefarshim on Chumash, and you see, you know, insights from Chazal, there is, I would say, an unlimited number of areas in which we can apply this idea. There is so much that the Torah tells us about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he does, what he doesn't do, what he says, what he doesn't say, when he chooses to speak, when he doesn't. And each and every one of these are, if we pay close attention, these are not just parts of a story. They're just not just details in a broader narrative. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu emulating for us how we should act in situations in which we find ourselves. And sometimes it's with real, real nuance. You know, when you speak about Bikur Cholim and you speak about, Nicham Aveilim, these are very concrete, not to say that they're easy mitzvahs to do, but yeah, we can only understand that in a most concrete way. People understand visiting the sick and be Menachem Aveilim. We can explain that away in a sentence or two. But when we talk about some of the finer aspects of interactions, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, so these require a real, real, real close attention to the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu emulates for us and models for us. And it is our responsibility, says the Torah, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teleichu. It is our responsibility to emulate the ways of God. So that's the answer to your question. Where does it say in the Torah? That's where it says in the Torah. The Torah says, be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, Chazal point out that that's absurd. I'm going to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only he's a God, and that's true. But we have to try to imitate him. We have to emulate him. And self-improvement, character development, shviras hamidos, this is all rooted in that mitzvah of v'halachta b'drachav. I don't have any makoros over here from the Sefer Torah Devorah, but by the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero in the Sefer Torah Devorah, he has, it's not a long book, but in that Sefer, he basically shows how we have an obligation to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Yigamidos HaRachamim, and he walks us through each and every one of them and shows that just how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So for example, the first one is Mi'al Kamocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is patient, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very tolerant, and he's slow to anger. We should be as well. So it literally means taking a close look at the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in any given situation and learning to emulate his ways. Profound idea. What is what is the method that we can recommend for self-improvement? So there are many, many different ideas and suggestions and different methodologies. This is not intended to be an exhaustive discussion in this regard, but I thought it would be worthwhile to mention one of the most famous and often cited approaches, and that is the Rambam. The Rambam, in the first chapter of Hilchos Deos, points out that there are many, many deos, which is the word the Rambam uses, the way we use midos. You know, we call them midos, the Rambam uses the word deos, but it's the same idea. He says, deos harbi yesh l'chol echad v'yechad b'mnei adam. People have many, many different deos, many different midos, what we would say like personality traits. V'zu m'shuna m'zu v'rachok mimenu b'yoser. And people are different. Sometimes people are similar in some ways, but very different in other ways. Yesh adam shu bachemo koes tamid. There are certain people who have a natural tendency to be very angry, and they may be short-tempered. V'yesh adam shadaitim yishevas alav. Eina koes klal. And there are certain people, just their nature, they're just very calm, and they're not very reactive. And if they get upset, they don't get upset for a long time, and it's not often. There are certain people tend to be very haughty, very arrogant. Says the Rambam, there are certain people who tend to be very modest and very humble. There are certain people who Rambam describes as Bali Taiva, people who have big eyes and have a desire to indulge in the physical pleasures of this world, what we call a Bal Taiva. And then there are certain people who they just, it doesn't do it for them. They don't desire, to indulge in the physical pleasures of this world. There are certain people who they could never have enough money, says the Rambam. It's never enough for them. As the Pasuk says, Oev kesef lo yizba kesef. And there are certain people who they're able to get by with much less, and they're sameach b'chalkam. And the Rambam goes on and on to give more and more examples. And these are just a sampling. There are, who knows how many different characteristics that we could speak about, personality traits. And says the Rambam, what happens is, and this is where this gets a little bit practical, again, easier said than done, what happens is if a person engages in a cheshbon nefesh and takes a close look inside of themselves and considers who they are, their tendencies, their strengths, their weaknesses, that they will realize over time, I have certain netios, I have certain tendencies, I have certain drives that make me unique. This is who I am. I didn't necessarily choose to be this way, but I've always been this way. I've noticed this since I'm a young child, or I've been this way for the last 20 years. This is who I am. Sometimes these midos are extreme. I'm too fill in the blank. Says the Rambam, it's not good to be extreme. This is sort of the punchline of the Rambam. It's not good to be extreme in general. Extreme behaviors, one way or the other, not healthy, not extreme. He says it's true. There are certain people that are extreme in their piety. He said, that's called chassidus, that's wonderful. But even that, says the Rambam, is not necessarily an ideal. Hayederech hayishara, the proper way in life is what he calls the midah beinonis, to try to be balanced. To try to be, as Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zichrono Livracha, would say, to try to be normal. To try to just be normal. V'hi hadeya shirachok mishtei aktsavos richok shava ve'ina krova lozu lozu. To try not to be extreme in one way or the other, to just be normal. And so therefore, says the Rambam, what do you do? Again, easier said than done, but if I know that I have certain tendencies that constantly pull me in a certain area, how am I going to get to the middle? Well, you got to view it almost like a rubber band, something that's, that is stretched too much out of shape. So the way you bring it back to the center is you got to pull in the opposite direction for a certain period of time until I could sort of balance out. Again, I don't think that dieting is the best example necessarily that we give, but mashal mahadavadoma, when it comes to a person who's very concerned about how much they've been eating, and the doctor says you have to lose weight, you're very, very overweight. So a person says, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on a diet, and then after I lose a lot of weight, so then I'm going to try to eat normally. Again, easier said than done, but that's the same concept over here. In order for me to come to some place that's the Derech Yeshara, I have to go from one extreme to another. And says Rambam, how do I do this? Well, you do it basically through practice. B'ketzid yargul adam atzma b'deyos elu atshik v'bo yasev yishanav yishalish b'masam sh'osak api adeyos ha'emtsiyos. You have to go ahead and repeat certain behaviors again and again and again until it becomes part of who I am. And this is consistent with, what psychologists would tell us as well in terms of different, behavioralist approach to change within psychology. There are certain tendencies that we have, there are certain deos that we have that are rooted in the way we view the world in terms of the way we are as people, but we can change that over the course of time by adjusting our behaviors. I want to be clear, we can't necessarily change who we are. We are a certain way, and those tendencies may always be there, but just because, there's a difference between a tendency that manifests itself constantly, that is evident to everyone around me, that everybody knows that I'm short-tempered and you don't want to say the wrong thing around me, that everybody's walking around in eggshells, as opposed to a person who has that natural tendency but works on it and learns how to control their anger and learns how to diffuse, a temper tantrum before it actually happens. And by doing so, is able to control themselves over time. And the Rambam writes in Shmoneh Prakim, in his Perish, in his Hakdama to Pirkei Avos, Ha'adam Shalim Sarach Lo L'Shiyizko Midos of Tamid. If a person wants to be an Adam Shalem, going back to that word that we saw beforehand, if a person wants to be complete, meaning work on self-improvement, you have to think about this always. V'yishko pu'ulosav, constantly evaluate the things that I am doing. V'yivachin t'chunos nafsho yom yom. This requires a regular effort. V'chom ashigir nafsho notel etzad k'tzas min ektzavos. If a person sees that he's going too much in one direction, to an extreme, yimoher b'refuah, v'lo yaniach ha'tchuna harol yizchazik b'shnos ha'maseh harah. Try not to allow that to just continue, to fester in that way, but rather I should work on myself to try to address that as soon as possible. This is the way that we can improve. Now, it's important to mention that one size does not fit all when it comes to this, right? You would think, well, you know, I sit next to a guy in shul, and I'm very, very impressed with him. He just seems to be an incredibly good person, and everybody likes him, and he's a tremendous mensch, and he's a baal midos. And so therefore, what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit down with him. I'm going to tell me exactly what you do. Tell me what your day looks like. What time do you get up in the morning? What do you eat for breakfast? You know, what svarim do you learn? You know, what do you stay away from? And listen, it's working for him, it's going to work for me, right? Not so pashut. Not simple at all. The pasuk in Mishlei says, holech biyashro yirei Hashem. Yirei Hashem is described as a person who's holech, who walks biyashro, literally in his straight path. And the Grove there writes in this Perush on Mishlei, "Kol adam tzarich leleches b'darko atzarich lo." A person has to walk in a way that's matim for him. Ki ein midos bnei adam shavim zelazeh. People are different. Machmazehu rogib avera haba miosam midav tzarich legader atzmo miod bazeh. There are certain people who have a tendency to fall in a certain area, and so therefore they have to set up literally a geder, a fence, if you will, a barrier to protect them more than somebody else. Somebody needs something else. So it's very nice that I'm inspired by the guy next to me in shul. And don't get me wrong, of course, if there's a person who I find inspiring to sit down and learn and hear what are your best practices, good. But don't assume that just because it works for him, it's going to work for me. A person has to know who he or she is, and then the path towards self-improvement and growth has to be personalized. It has to be customized. I can't go ahead and just, you know, do what somebody else does. You know, you forgive me, I keep coming back to this, but whether it's about diet or it's about, you know, getting in good physical shape, you know, there are so many apps that do this today. You know, they're going to tell you, oh, so they're going to ask you, you know, how old are you, and tells you your height and your weight, and what does your day look like, and, you know, what's your average heartbeat, you know, and get all this information. It's like, okay, so now this is what we recommend. You know, it's obviously it's just based on some, you know, computer algorithms, but this is what we recommend. This is what fits you. You know, that's easy. That is easy. This is very, very difficult, but a similar idea. You know, just because this works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for me. And so therefore, it's very, very important. Rav Obo highlights this in the Sefer Al Shur in several places. We can't imitate people when it comes to self-improvement. We can be inspired by people, but imitating other people is terrible. The only one we should be imitating is Rabbanu Shalom. We saw that. We should imitate him. V'alachta b'drach of other people, we can be inspired by them. Another demonstration of this, it says in Pirkei Avos, in the name of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, kol shiyiras cheto kodemes l'chachmaso, chachmaso miskayemes. Anyone whose yiras chet precedes his chachma will be miskayemes, and his chachma precedes his yiras chet, it will not. So the Maral wonders, why does it say yiras cheto? What does it mean yiras cheto? To the contrary, he says, if this guy's a yiras shemayim, he doesn't sin. What does this mean? He's not a chote. So he makes the same point that the Gram makes on that pasuk of Mishlei, and that is that everybody has their own sins. Everybody has their own demons. Everybody has their own tendencies. It's different from one person to the next. If you want to be a Yorei Shemayim, if you want to be the kind of person whose chachma will be miskayemes, I have to have yiras chet'i. It has to be personalized because I am a unique person. I am a unique individual. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, says the Mishnah in Masechah Sanhedrin. Nefichach Adam Nivra Yechidi, a man was created as a single individual, so we should know that no two people are the same. Every person is different. And finally, in conclusion, I conclude with the words of Rav Kook in the Sefer Musar Avicha, of a small book. Rav Kook published many different svarim. Many of them are available online. And of course, as you know, if you've ever studied the writings of Rav Kook, many of them are very difficult to read. But he quotes the Mesillas Yesharim that we read already, who wonders why is it that so few people engage in this area of self-improvement, Tikkun HaMidos. And he says, "Achasid b'Mesillas Yesharim bi'er b'hakdamaso sibas menias amiyat halimah b'inyana yavoda." He says, why is it that so many people are negligent in this regard and just neglect their responsibilities to engage in this area of study? As we saw before in Mesillas Yesharim, the Ramchal writes, because of the fact that people, it's well known, people say, I don't have to really spend so much time thinking about this. Everybody knows it. Acheni says, Yesh od siba ikaris biyosalezeh. Says Rav Kook, but I think there's another reason, a fundamental reason why people avoid this. Vuhu chesron midas agvura. This is because people lack the willpower, the strength, the courage. Kishematchil adam la'ayin be'elu unyanam hanizgavim. When you start to look at this stuff, when people start to engage in cheshbon and nefesh and take a real honest, hard look at themselves, a person says, "Oy vey, how am I going to do this? I'm not up to the task. I can't. This is who I am. I've always been this way. I'm always going to be this way." And says Rav Kook, in addition to the fact that it's well known, it's also very difficult. It's very difficult. Which, going back to the Vilna Gaon, would explain why this is Ikur Chiyas Adam. Adam la'amal yulad. We were created to work hard. This is the hard work. Our primary work in this world is to make ourselves better people. Akein sarach lazeh gevura gedola. It requires great strength. Shebedato she'ikar hashlemas tali v'hashlemas yediyas hator limita lo yipol levavo. V'yayin b'chol darchi avod v'chasidus v'lo yechrat yosem yidai b'bnei roso atzma rochuk mihem. A person should not despair. A person should not give up hope and say, oh no, I can't do this. I'm not up to the task. Says Rav Kook, no. It requires courage, it requires determination, it requires strength, but I can do it. I can do it. And if I devote myself in this regard to this task, so then I will fulfill the Ikur Chiyus in this world. Or, as Shlomo Melech, as we saw in the opening, Mar Makoma says, and if we don't, Lama Hu Chayim, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of life? In summary and conclusion, I hope that each and every one of us walk away with a little sense of inspiration, of focus, reminding us how important it is that we try to make ourselves better people. I don't feel that it is appropriate. I don't think it is my place. And I think, you know, it's just, you know, there are certain things that are too personal to be, you know, to just to be shared publicly. It's not my place to give specific examples that come to mind of how Shelley really, really distinguished himself in this regard. There are, for some reason, conversations that he and I had that I remember for some reason many, many years later. There was feedback that he would give, drushes and shurim that I would give, which revealed to me that this individual really, really, really understood who he was and struggled constantly to make himself a better person. And when I say he struggled, it's not to imply or suggest any weakness on his part. To the contrary, Adam la'abal yulad. The only reason that he struggled and other people don't is because he made it a priority of his to make himself perfect. As we saw beforehand, right, the Ramchal, I think is the first source on the page. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us imperfect by design. He made us with all sorts of challenges, and it is our job in this world to try to make ourselves better people. This is the foundation of the entire Torah. This is the purpose of our existence, and may we hope and pray that each and every one of us should be inspired by the example that was set for us by Yosef Shmo Shmelka ben Yitzchak Zuchon Levracha, by Shelley Mermelstein, who is an extraordinary individual, who, while he lived in this world, he demonstrated by action what it means to constantly grow. He wouldn't retire, I don't just mean that he wouldn't retire from employment. He wouldn't retire from the most important job in this world, and that is to become a better person. May we all be zocha to be inspired by his example, to emulate the ways of Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and may we be zocha to continue to gather for happy occasions. Want once again to thank the Mermelstein family personally for allowing me this opportunity to learn together with you. And we want to say once again to Fran and to the children and the grandchildren and the entire family how inspired we are by your incredible amuna, by the incredible faith that you have demonstrated over the past year, a year that has been difficult for many, many, many people. But long before it became difficult for us, it was a dreadful year for you. And you have continued to hold your head up high and to maintain just nothing but optimism and focusing on the brachos in life. And that is an incredible inspiration to each and every one of us. We pray that Shelly's neshama should have an aliyah. I hope it's okay, Fran. I'm just going to say over what you told me that not that long ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, but they heard from Rav Reuven Feinstein, who said that when somebody said something about the first yard site and neshama should have an aliyah, something like that. So he says, what's the first yard site? The first yard site is the birthday of a person's entry to Shemayim. Such a beautiful, beautiful way of characterizing a yard site and what it means. So we hope and pray that Shelly should be having a very meaningful birthday on his first birthday, his entry to Shemayim, and he should continue to inspire each and every one of us by the incredible example that he set for the rest of our lives. Yehi zechro baruch. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.